Scottish Qualifications Authority. National Qualifications 2025. English for Speakers of Other Languages. National 5. Listening. Recording 1. Listen to the recording and attempt the questions which follow. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute to read the questions in recording 1 before the recording begins.
Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of your favourite weekly podcast, What's Cooking? I'm Diana Porter, and today's special guest is James Hicks. Back in 2014, James was a personal trainer with a degree in sports science, dragging himself out of bed at sunrise each morning to deliver poorly attended early morning exercise classes. He found that his motivation and enthusiasm for health and fitness was fading fast, though he knew deep down he was born for a career in that industry. After some not-so-gentle encouragement from his wife, he reluctantly set up a social media account to share healthy recipes and fitness tips. James is the first to admit that no one could have predicted the instant and wide-reaching success he would have, though his wife would say she'd always known he was on to a winner. James is now a social media superstar with a series of best-selling cookbooks and award-winning TV shows under his belt. Hello, James. Thanks for spending time with us today. You're clearly a very busy man.
Hi, Diana. It's a pleasure, and thanks for the lovely introduction.
It's great to have you here. Now, let's get right to it. Why do you think your particular approach to health and fitness is so successful?
People have a lot of barriers on their heads. They've tried all the diets with little success. They haven't got the time to exercise. Gym memberships are too expensive. Honestly, I'm just saying the same thing loads of trainers have been saying for years. Eat better, exercise more. But I suppose the difference is that I deliver my message in a really straightforward way that even your mum or your grandparents can follow.
Have you ever thought that your videos shouldn't be giving so much away for free?
No. Absolutely not. In fact, I want to give more. And I want people to understand that you don't need a fancy gym membership to be healthy. People who have gym memberships, they're all right. They already know what they're doing. It's the people who don't, and maybe can't afford it, that I want to reach and encourage. My whole business and philosophy is built on giving out free content. People need the information.
What's the idea behind your latest book, Social Cooking?
My first books were more about cooking for one or two people. I thought it was time to get more people involved. Typically, when people host a dinner party, they don't expect their guests to lift a finger to help. But in my house, the time we take preparing the meal is a major part of the socialising, and my guests are always invited to join in. Some people might think that's really cheeky, but I've always found that my guests are happy to get involved. That's what this book aims to promote. And the plan is that it fits in with our busy modern lives. Rather than ordering a takeaway to save time, you can enjoy that time with each other, making an amazing curry together.
Where do you get your recipes from?
Travel gives me a lot of my inspiration, sampling traditional cuisine from all across the world. But I'm not going to lie, it can be challenging to continually develop new ideas. I've already done 400 recipes and I've got another 8 books to write, so that's 800 more recipes that need to be different. It demands a level of creativity that certainly keeps me on my toes. It's pretty intense, but some of them are just variations of a basic dish, different curries and stir fries, for example. Not all revolutionary food, but quick and easy to make, using just a handful of ingredients that are commonly found in supermarkets.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for joining us today, James. Social Cooking by James Hicks is out now and available online and in all good bookshops. Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of your favourite weekly podcast, What's Cooking? I'm Diana Porter, and today's special guest is James Hicks. Back in 2014, James was a personal trainer with a degree in sports science, dragging himself out of bed at sunrise each morning to deliver poorly attended early morning exercise classes. He found that his motivation and enthusiasm for health and fitness was fading fast, though he knew deep down he was born for a career in that industry. After some not-so-gentle encouragement from his wife, he reluctantly set up a social media account to share healthy recipes and fitness tips. James is the first to admit that no one could have predicted the instant and wide-reaching success he would have, though his wife would say she'd always known he was on to a winner. James is now a social media superstar with a series of best-selling cookbooks and award-winning TV shows under his belt. Hello, James. Thanks for spending time with us today. You're clearly a very busy man.
Hi, Diana. It's a pleasure, and thanks for the lovely introduction.
It's great to have you here. Now, let's get right to it. Why do you think your particular approach to health and fitness is so successful?
People have a lot of barriers on their heads. They've tried all the diets with little success. They haven't got the time to exercise. Gym memberships are too expensive. Honestly, I'm just saying the same thing loads of trainers have been saying for years. Eat better, exercise more. But I suppose the difference is that I deliver my message in a really straightforward way that even your mum or your grandparents can follow.
Have you ever thought that your videos shouldn't be giving so much away for free?
No. Absolutely not. In fact, I want to give more. And I want people to understand that you don't need a fancy gym membership to be healthy. People who have gym memberships, they're all right. They already know what they're doing. It's the people who don't, and maybe can't afford it, that I want to reach and encourage. My whole business and philosophy is built on giving out free content. People need the information.
What's the idea behind your latest book, Social Cooking?
My first books were more about cooking for one or two people. I thought it was time to get more people involved. Typically, when people host a dinner party, they don't expect their guests to lift a finger to help. But in my house, the time we take preparing the meal is a major part of the socialising, and my guests are always invited to join in. Some people might think that's really cheeky, but I've always found that my guests are happy to get involved. That's what this book aims to promote. And the plan is that it fits in with our busy modern lives. Rather than ordering a takeaway to save time, you can enjoy that time with each other, making an amazing curry together.
Where do you get your recipes from?
Travel gives me a lot of my inspiration, sampling traditional cuisine from all across the world. But I'm not going to lie, it can be challenging to continually develop new ideas. I've already done 400 recipes, and I've got another 8 books to write, so that's 800 more recipes that need to be different. It demands a level of creativity that certainly keeps me on my toes. It's pretty intense, but some of them are just variations of a basic dish, different curries and stir fries, for example. Not all revolutionary food, but quick and easy to make, using just a handful of ingredients that are commonly found in supermarkets.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for joining us today, James. Social Cooking by James Hicks is out now and available online and in all good bookshops.
Recording 2. Listen to the recording and attempt the questions which follow. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute to read the questions in recording 2 before the recording begins.
Good afternoon to those who have just joined us. Today we're discussing the pros and cons of working while still at high school. Just text or call in with your views, and we'd especially like to hear from any school children out there. Did you know that there are strict laws about child employment, and they apply to all children in the UK? Basically, children can't work full-time until they've reached school leaving age. The youngest age a child can work is 13, and it can only be part-time and outside school hours. Even then, only 2 hours on school days and Sundays. Drama and modelling are exceptions, but a licence is required. So that means most school kids are limited to working during the holidays, early mornings and evenings. Here's our first caller, Sam, who is 17 and has a Saturday job. Hi Sam, can you tell us about your job?
Hi, yeah, I do Saturday shifts in our local warehouse, so I restock the shelves and package orders, which are delivered to large retail stores. The shift's 8 hours long, but I often work overtime and that can be exhausting. It means more cash though, so I can't complain.
What do you like about it, Sam?
Well, the salary's pretty competitive. When we're busy, I don't notice the time passing, but sometimes things are slow. If it weren't for a group of friends from my school who work with me, it'd be really dull.
Are there any perks?
I don't drive, so I use the subsidised transport to and from the warehouse site, which is on the edge of town. That saves my mum giving me a lift. My mum likes me working there because I get given discount vouchers to spend in their sister stores, and sometimes we even get free food that is past its use-by date. Mum gives me a list of things to look out for every week, so I guess that's a perk for her, at least. But a bit of a pain for me. It's made me realise the value of a pound, whereas before I'd always ask for designer gear for birthdays and Christmas.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Sam. Our next caller is 15-year-old Julia. Hi, Julia. What do you do?
Hi. I've been working in my local cafe for 3 months now. It's not an ordinary cafe, to be honest, because it's really a not-for-profit organisation that provides training for vulnerable members of our community. My aunt set up the cafe, and she basically shows young adults how to use freshly produced local ingredients to cook quality lunches and cakes and serve them to customers. Some of my co-workers have specific learning needs or have struggled to get a job for years, and these jobs provide real work experience that can make them feel part of the local community. I feel that this opportunity breaks down barriers and prejudices, and I'm so proud of my aunt. I really love it, as it's all about giving the staff a sense of what it's like to be equal and included, and it teaches you about life. I've learned more from this job than from all my days at school. Well, almost. I apologise to my lovely teachers. What I really mean is it's a different kind of learning.
Would you say there are any negatives?
Well, I suppose it's a struggle to get up early for my Saturday job, and I suppose it takes away time I could be spending with my friends. They'll tease me about how lazy they've been all morning, while I'm already halfway through my shift. I don't care, because I don't feel like I'm really missing out on anything. In the afternoon, they occasionally pop into the cafe, and I think being there is a real pleasure for them too.
What's been the best thing about working while you're still at school?
I've definitely become more confident, tolerant and open-minded since starting work in the cafe. I've not only proved that I can hold down a job and manage my time, but also that I work well with a variety of people. I think these are valuable skills that will stand me in good stead in the future.
Good afternoon to those who have just joined us. Today we're discussing the pros and cons of working while still at high school. Just text or call in with your views, and we'd especially like to hear from any school children out there. Did you know that there are strict laws about child employment, and they apply to all children in the UK? Basically, children can't work full-time until they've reached school leaving age. The youngest age a child can work is 13, and it can only be part-time and outside school hours. Even then, only 2 hours on school days and Sundays. Drama and modelling are exceptions, but a licence is required. So, that means most school kids are limited to working during the holidays, early mornings and evenings. Here's our first caller, Sam, who is 17 and has a Saturday job. Hi Sam, can you tell us about your job?
Hi, yeah, I do Saturday shifts in our local warehouse, so I restock the shelves and package orders, which are delivered to large retail stores. The shift's 8 hours long, but I often work overtime, and that can be exhausting. It means more cash, though, so I can't complain.
What do you like about it, Sam?
Well, the salary's pretty competitive. When we're busy, I don't notice the time passing, but sometimes things are slow. If it weren't for a group of friends from my school who work with me, it'd be really dull.
Are there any perks?
I don't drive, so I use the subsidised transport to and from the warehouse site, which is on the edge of town. That saves my mum giving me a lift. My mum likes me working there because I get given discount vouchers to spend in their sister stores, and sometimes we even get free food that is past its use-by date. Mum gives me a list of things to look out for every week, so I guess that's a perk for her, at least. But a bit of a pain for me. It's made me realise the value of a pound, whereas before I'd always ask for designer gear for birthdays and Christmas.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Sam. Our next caller is 15-year-old Julia. Hi, Julia. What do you do?
Hi. I've been working in my local cafe for 3 months now. It's not an ordinary cafe, to be honest, because it's really a not-for-profit organisation that provides training for vulnerable members of our community. My aunt set up the cafe, and she basically shows young adults how to use freshly produced local ingredients to cook quality lunches and cakes and serve them to customers. Some of my co-workers have specific learning needs or have struggled to get a job for years, and these jobs provide real work experience that can make them feel part of the local community. I feel that this opportunity breaks down barriers and prejudices, and I'm so proud of my aunt. I really love it, as it's all about giving the staff a sense of what it's like to be equal and included, and it teaches you about life. I've learned more from this job than from all my days at school. Well, almost. I apologise to my lovely teachers. What I really mean is it's a different kind of learning.
Would you say there are any negatives?
Well, I suppose it's a struggle to get up early for my Saturday job, and I suppose it takes away time I could be spending with my friends. They'll tease me about how lazy they've been all morning, while I'm already halfway through my shift. I don't care, because I don't feel like I'm really missing out on anything. In the afternoon, they occasionally pop into the cafe, and I think being there is a real pleasure for them too.
What's been the best thing about working while you're still at school?
I've definitely become more confident, tolerant and open-minded since starting work in the cafe. I've not only proved that I can hold down a job and manage my time, but also that I work well with a variety of people. I think these are valuable skills that will stand me in good stead in the future.
Recording 3. Listen to the recording and attempt the questions which follow. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute to read the questions in recording 3 before the recording begins.
Good morning, all. As many of you will be starting university soon, we are delighted to welcome former pupil of this school and recent graduate of the University of Inverallan, Louise Brooks, to talk to you today. Louise will be sharing some of her memorable experiences of university life and giving you, the students of the future, some tips. Good morning, Louise, and welcome to Muir End High.
Good morning, Mr. Cornes, and hello, fifth and sixth year. So, yes, I'll talk a little about my experiences of academic life, and then based on that, I'll try to provide some practical advice about overcoming problems at university, which I hope will be of value in your studies and even in your future career. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have at the end. Well, you might be surprised to learn that in the UK each year, many university students struggle to complete their undergraduate degrees. There are various reasons why this can happen, such as a change in family circumstances, health problems, or issues with the course selected. Sometimes courses fail to meet student expectations, seeming uninteresting, irrelevant, or even poorly presented. In my first couple of years at university, I must confess, I was an example of what not to do. I handled it all really badly, doing just about everything wrong. I socialised too much and didn't work hard enough. Despite a series of poor grades, I just managed to scrape through my first year and part of my second. The only reason I survived that long was because I was allowed to retake some exams in the holidays, a fact I had to shield my parents from. I knew I was in real trouble when, on the morning of a crucial exam, I woke up and realised I'd missed it because I'd stayed up late the night before. I had left my revision to the last minute. I do feel that some universities should offer students more guidance. Nobody said to me, "You are in danger of dropping out," and I couldn't see it myself. I made it in the end, but my degree took 2 years longer than it should have done. There simply wasn't any feedback from tutors. University can be a huge challenge, and many students don't know who to turn to when things get tough. While asking for help and sharing your feelings is crucial, most students like me don't ask for help in time, but instead withdraw from everyday life and suffer in silence. So, if you are feeling withdrawn, have low mood, or have poor attendance and low grades, it is important to address the issues and consider how to get back on track. Tutors, advisors from the student union, counsellors, or careers officers, as well as friends and family, can encourage and help, and often provide enough support to change the situation. While revealing your doubts and fears could lead to feelings of guilt or shame, it is also common to experience an enormous sense of relief. An interruption of studies can be a necessary and helpful step. If you do take time out, there are a host of practical considerations involved. Financial matters, such as unpaid fees, could be a factor for some, as well as living arrangements. So double-check the end date on your lease. Finding out about changes to your utility bills and council tax is your number one priority, as students often forget how expensive these become when there are no discounts and no funding is coming in.
Good morning, all. As many of you will be starting university soon, we are delighted to welcome former pupil of this school and recent graduate of the University of Inverallan, Louise Brooks, to talk to you today. Louise will be sharing some of her memorable experiences of university life and giving you, the students of the future, some tips. Good morning, Louise, and welcome to Muir End High.
Good morning, Mr. Cornes, and hello, 5th and 6th year. So, yes, I'll talk a little about my experiences of academic life, and then based on that, I'll try to provide some practical advice about overcoming problems at university, which I hope will be of value in your studies and even in your future career. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have at the end. Well, you might be surprised to learn that in the UK each year, many university students struggle to complete their undergraduate degrees. There are various reasons why this can happen, such as a change in family circumstances, health problems, or issues with the course selected. Sometimes courses fail to meet student expectations, seeming uninteresting, irrelevant, or even poorly presented. In my first couple of years at university, I must confess, I was an example of what not to do. I handled it all really badly, doing just about everything wrong. I socialised too much and didn't work hard enough. Despite a series of poor grades, I just managed to scrape through my first year and part of my second. The only reason I survived that long was because I was allowed to retake some exams in the holidays, a fact I had to shield my parents from. I knew I was in real trouble when, on the morning of a crucial exam, I woke up and realised I'd missed it because I'd stayed up late the night before. I had left my revision to the last minute. I do feel that some universities should offer students more guidance. Nobody said to me, "You are in danger of dropping out," and I couldn't see it myself. I made it in the end, but my degree took 2 years longer than it should have done. There simply wasn't any feedback from tutors. University can be a huge challenge, and many students don't know who to turn to when things get tough. While asking for help and sharing your feelings is crucial, most students like me don't ask for help in time, but instead withdraw from everyday life and suffer in silence. So, if you are feeling withdrawn, have low mood, or have poor attendance and low grades, it is important to address the issues and consider how to get back on track. Tutors, advisors from the student union, counsellors, or careers officers, as well as friends and family, can encourage and help, and often provide enough support to change the situation. While revealing your doubts and fears could lead to feelings of guilt or shame, it is also common to experience an enormous sense of relief. An interruption of studies can be a necessary and helpful step. If you do take time out, there are a host of practical considerations involved. Financial matters, such as unpaid fees, could be a factor for some, as well as living arrangements. So double-check the end date on your lease. Finding out about changes to your utility bills and council tax is your number one priority, as students often forget how expensive these become when there are no discounts and no funding is coming in.
You now have 1 minute to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.